Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
There's one thing that will forever change the way you sleep, and it's the softest, 100% organic cotton bedding from Bull & Branch. You'll fall asleep faster, wrapped in the most luxurious comfort. You'll never sleep hot again with airy blankets, cloud-like duvets, and breathable sheets. You'll experience pure comfort on night one and feel your bedding get softer with every wash. Discover the difference with 15% off your first order at bullandbranch.com with code ODYSSEY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the LA Local Morning Update, keeping you caught up with the latest from KNX News. Check back this afternoon for the LA Local's full daily briefing on what you need to know in SoCal.
A big fire aid concert in LA tonight. More confirmation hearings for the presidents of PIX's nominees. But in DC, this huge investigation into the plane crash, the midair collision between the American Airlines jet and the Army helicopter. We get to the latest right now.
CBS News special report. Still so many questions about a mid-air collision last night near the nation's capital. An American Airlines flight from Wichita collided with an Army helicopter. Kansas Representative Ron Estes.
This is such a tragic day for our community. So many of us will be touched by people that we know directly or indirectly that were victims.
28 bodies have been recovered. 64 people were on the plane. CBS's Caitlin Huey Burns is at Reagan National Airport.
Lawmakers have been raising concerns for a while now about how congested this airport is, how many flights arrive and take off.
Aviation reporter Jeff Wise.
There has been ATC audio released in which the tower is telling the Black Hawk, do you see this plane go around it or behind it? So clearly they were asking the Black Hawk to basically see and avoid. They were giving them the responsibility. You look for the traffic, you avoid it.
CBS News Special Report. I'm Cammie McCormick.
This has affected flights around the nation. Back with Mike and Vicky now. And we have a report from LAX and our John Baird.
Well, passengers and flight crew members, people at the ticket counter here, all just going about their business today, although certainly upset, shocked over that tragedy. I talked to a woman who was heading to Dallas this morning on American Airlines. I was talking to her about the safety of air travel in general, and this is what she said.
I feel like it's all a risk. It's just as dangerous as driving on the street.
Yeah. Yeah. The statistics are even worse than that.
On the street, exactly.
What did you think when you heard about it last night?
It was sad, but I didn't really want to think too much on it.
Because you're flying today?
Yeah.
Got it. Thank you.
Several other. I mean, this is a pretty tight-knit community, right?
Several other people told me the very same thing, that they get a little jittery when flying anyway, and this doesn't help their anxiety level. This is, I believe, the first fatal crash in commercial aviation in, what, 16 years, and experts say it's still much, much safer than other forms of transportation like driving. Some flights in and out of LAX have been canceled and delayed as a result of that crash in D.C.
Tulsi Gabbard facing questions this morning about her past comments about Russia and Syria. Lawmakers deciding whether to confirm her to lead the intelligence service. Pastor Mark, sympathetic to Russia, critical of Ukraine. They're going to come up as the senators are asking their questions. President Trump picking her to be the next director of national intelligence. CBS consultant Jeff McCausland, military consultant, says there's going to be questions about meetings she had with a Syria's deposed dictator, Bashar al-Assad.
Why she conducted this particular trip to Syria, met with Assad. She certainly will be asked about the comments she's made blaming the United States for Russian aggression against Ukraine.
Also with hearings this morning, Kash Patel, he wants to be picked to lead the FBI in a second committee hearing for RFK Jr. for Health and Human Services.
More now on the White House rescinding that memo on freezing federal grants and loans that caused a lot of confusion.
What got rescinded was the OMB memo, not the executive orders, but just the memo. So a little bit of a distinction there, but it was enough to cause a lot of chaos here at the White House, people questioning what this meant. But ultimately, that federal funding is still on pause until we are hearing from a federal judge in this case who put a stay on that order that we will hear from on Monday, whether or not this federal funding freeze will be lifted.
The press secretary, Caroline Levitt, said in her first White House briefing that, quote, this is not a blanket pause on federal assistance and grant programs. The administration said Medicare, Social Security, student loans, food stamps would not be affected.
20 minutes of nonstop news brought to you by Oseron Law, the Injured Workers Hotline. Lawmakers in Sacramento proposing several bills trying to help those impacted by the wildfires here. One of them we've been talking about this week would provide a year of mortgage relief for fire victims. Assemblymember John Harabedian is co-sponsor on that one, represents the area impacted by the Eden Fire. We've got him on the line.
Assemblymember, good morning.
Good morning, Mike. Good morning, Vicki.
Got a couple of things going on. The mortgage relief, also talking about setting up a state housing coordinator, because you've said in the past that you don't think government agencies generally do a good job of talking to each other, certainly not in natural disasters. So tell us what you're trying to push forward there in Sacramento.
Correct. And first, our hearts and prayers go out to all the victims of the plane crash in Washington, D.C. Just absolutely terrible news. And hopefully some relief gets to them soon. I think that it what you just said hits the nail on the head. It is a real kind of function of government to respond to these types of disasters. It's our core competency. But unfortunately, when you have many layers of federal, state, and local government, folks don't seem to talk and coordinate very well. What we need to do is have a quarterback, someone who centralizes all these operations. And I think that's going to help victims, help the recovery, and help the rebuild. My bill, AB 239, would set up a task force with members of federal, state, and local jurisdictions to really work hand in glove and make sure that nothing is getting missed. And I think that this is something that FEMA recommends. It's something that has been done in other states. And I think it would fit perfectly for this situation.
You're on the mortgage relief bill. What about price gouging? We had the DAs of the surrounding counties here, you know, up to Santa Barbara, even Orange County, Riverside, San Bernardino, asking the governor's office in a letter saying, give us some extra teeth, expand your order to our counties, because we've got people, you know, kind of fleeing this area and trying to find housing there, and they're worried about prices going up too much. And the response was kind of, well, we'll let you know if we've got news to share. You think that's something that should happen?
You will see bills coming down the road that will be addressing price gouging. It is despicable to see what my neighbors are going through. They lose their homes, they lose their livelihood, they lose everything, and they are forced to deal with a market response that effectively has tried to victimize them again. We're not going to stand by and allow that to happen. We are working, obviously, with law enforcement officials, State Attorney General Rob Bonta, our local DAs, but we will be taking swift action on this to make sure that no one is susceptible to any more victimization. And anyone thinking of doing it will be penalized, and there will be stiff ramifications for it. So to anyone thinking of trying to make anyone pay anything more than 10% on goods, services, or anything you're providing, you will be violating the law and you will be prosecuted.
We're speaking live with State Assemblymember John Harabedian and about what's going on in Sacramento with the state capitol bills moving forward. And, you know, we talk about homeowners because I know that's a concern for you, you know, getting people rebuilt out there after the Eden fire. But there are different types of homes. There's a single family residence, there's renters, but there's also condos. And I've been talking to some condo owners who've been burned out. And they've been telling me that the emergency relief, the money that condo owners get, can be less than what traditional homeowners are getting. And then also getting the HOAs to agree to move forward quickly as the homeowners can, because maybe it's just one homeowner, that can be really challenging. Is that something that you're going to look into as well?
We are definitely trying to help every victim in every walk of life and in every situation, including condo owners. I think that right now what we need to focus on is speed and simplicity, and all the issues that you just outlined, whether it's trying to get FEMA help, whether it's dealing with insurance companies, we're working on all of those issues to make sure that residents of Altadena and the Palisades are not going to be stuck in some bureaucratic mess. And I think that the real frustrating thing about the situation, Mike and Vicki, is that it is not easy to deal with a HOA or an insurance company under the best of times. Under the worst of times where you've lost everything, it's obviously not ideal. So, you know, leaders here in Sacramento and locally will try to help all those folks that you just mentioned.
Assemblymember John Harabedian represents the area impacted by the Eden fire. Thanks for talking to us.
Fire Aid Concert's going to be happening tonight in Inglewood, and you could be riding in a Tesla robo-taxi by the end of the year. Those stories and more coming up as 20 minutes of nonstop news continues.
Hamas freeing hostages as part of this ceasefire on the Gaza Strip, but the handovers have been chaotic. That's led to protests from Israel. Israel now delaying the release of 110 Palestinian prisoners. When hostages get released, there's going to be a LA landmark that lights up blue. Here's Emily Valdez.
Each time Hamas releases more hostages, the Museum of Tolerance and Pico Robertson will be lit with blue lights at sundown.
Truly beautiful. It looks like a gem sitting there in Los Angeles.
Deborah Camille is with the Simon Wiesenthal Center. People are encouraged to come out at sundown and see the blue lights.
It's also a moment to sort of be there and reflect about everything that has gone on since October 7th, including the war, which has really devastated civilians and people on both sides of the border.
Today, 8 hostages are expected to be freed,
which include 3 Israelis and 5 Thai citizens, I believe, and then 3 more released on Saturday. So this week, the museum will be lit up 2 times.
Today and Saturday. I'm Emily Valdez, KNX News, 97.1 FM.
Lady Gaga, Billie Eilish, Jelly Roll, Green Day, Sting, Chili Peppers, among dozens of artists that are going to be taking part in the Fire Aid concert tonight. 6 o'clock at the Kia Forum, and then they shift over to the Intuit Dome at 7:30. The concerts will be streamed live on all kinds of platforms, also shown at some AMC theaters across the country. Donations and merch can be purchased at fireaidla.org, and all sales, they say, proceeds will directly support wildfire relief efforts.
Man who says ASAP Rocky shot at him, set to take the stand again this morning, says the rapper attacked him in Hollywood 4 years ago, pulled the gun, fired twice, has grazed his knuckles. ASAP Rocky refusing this plea deal earlier would have sent him to jail for 180 days, now faces 24 years if convicted. Rihanna's his partner, mom of his 2 kids. She was in court yesterday, not known if she'll be back today.
Accused drug dealer in Laguna Niguel facing charges in a fentanyl overdose death case of 2 people. Here's Karen Adams.
On 2 separate occasions back in 2023, Michael Abdallah is accused of selling fentanyl to 2 people, which caused them to overdose and die. When officers arrested the 21-year-old, prosecutors say he had nearly 3 pounds of the lethal synthetic opioid on him and 3 guns. One a ghost gun. A federal grand jury just indicted him in the case. He's facing 6 charges, and if convicted on all of them, he could get 20 years to life in prison. I'm Karen Adams, KNX News, 97.1 FM.
2 men on trial for the drug overdose deaths of 2 women, a model and her friend in 2021. Prosecution says a Hollywood producer, David Pierce, gave them drugs like GHB and fentanyl. Pierce denies giving them drugs, says they passed out after a night out. Pierce and his co-defendant accused of not getting help for both of them in time. They were taken to hospitals. Later, the model was already dead. Her friend died after being taken off of life support. He faces murder and sexual assault charges.
Millions of cars in California have safety issues that haven't been fixed, and L.A. is ranking first among cities with 3 million recalls. Nationwide, about 58 million cars have unresolved recalls, and California, they say, has the most, more than 6 million. Many of the recalls for serious problems, airbags, brakes, seatbelts, things like that. NHTSA says you should check for recalls on their website and get them fixed for free.
We've got the Waymos, maybe the Tesla robo-taxis in California by the end of the year. Elon Musk says the robo-taxi service that he has is going to start in Austin, Texas by June. They don't need human drivers. Waymo and other technologies use like laser beams to measure the distance. His is going to use cameras and sensors instead of the more expensive stuff. Some people concerned about safety. Musk says, nope, we've tested it. It's going to be safe. The goal, expand the service to several cities by 2026.
More now on that crash between the American Airlines jet and the Black Hawk helicopter over D.C., all aboard believed to be dead. And we talked about it this morning with our KNX travel editor, Peter Greenberg, and asked him if the crash was preventable.
It probably was. In many of these cases, that's what we learned during the investigation. Obviously, it's still preliminary, but this is what we do know. Keep in mind that the Reagan Airport has the most restricted airspace in the United States because of its proximity to both the Capitol and the White House. and it has something called the TCA. By the way, so does LAX. A TCA means that no aircraft can fly into that TCA, that terminal control area, without being given permission, without being able to transpond, meaning squawk their actual identity, their altitude, and their speed to the controllers. It appears that both of these aircraft had done that, and they were both in communication with the tower. And here's where it gets a little confusing, because the tower did communicate to the helicopter that there was traffic in the area. He asked them if they could see the traffic. They were referring, of course, to the PSA flight, the American Eagle flight, that it was on its final approach at about 375 feet to Reagan. The helicopter pilot said, yes, we've established contact and we're maintaining separation. And then the collision happened. So it may be too soon to speculate here, but there's some preliminary indications that the helicopter pilot did not see that plane. He was actually recognizing another plane, and that's when that collision happened.
All right, so might have had eyes on the wrong one. There were a lot of questions, especially last night into earlier this morning, about, you know, planes and helicopters supposed to have accident avoidance systems equipped, but these both would have been way too low for that kind of thing right?
That's correct. It's called the TCAS, a collision avoidance system. It operates on most commercial aircraft, and it's a great interactive system where the planes talk to each other. And that if there's a collision perceived, then it will give a pilot one command of climb right and the other pilot climb or dive right. And that's how they avoid it. But below 1,000 feet, the TCAS doesn't work. And we don't know if the military helicopter had the TCAS anyway. It's not material to this investigation.
Speaking with KNX News travel editor Peter Greenberg. And Peter, when you see this in the news and you're taking a flight, you know, you think, you get a little nervous, but there's nothing you could do. And this was, I was reading, the first deadly commercial plane crash in the U.S. in 16 years. So again, in your opinion, air travel safe?
Listen, you know, we always learn from these. And the answer to your question is, yes, it's safe. But Southern Californians might remember another midair collision, a story that I covered back in 1978 down in San Diego. The PSA flight 182 that was on approach to Lindbergh Field, and the tower called out, do you see traffic? And the pilot said he did, but the traffic didn't see him. And that's when the small plane collided to that 727 and everybody died. And as a result of that, that's when the FAA established what we have now called the terminal control area.
Where are we with the shortages of air traffic controllers that we've talked so much about and the need to, you know, really kind of staff up and make sure these guys aren't working overtime? Because these aren't the people you want working overtime too much.
You're right. Well, under the FAA reauthorization bill that was passed last year, they have hired a lot of new ones, about 1,500. But keep in mind, that doesn't mean they're working. They're training. And that training curve is rather steep. So it'll be another 18 months minimum before they can even approach getting to the staffing levels they need to be at.
So the president and the transportation secretary have sort of already talked about, you know, this seems to be maybe the helicopter's issue, which is a bit unusual for senior officials to come out so early like that. Would you say, were you a bit surprised?
I'm not, actually, because remember, for this plane, I'm talking about the PSA flight, the American Eagle flight, to be at that altitude on approach, he was already cleared. He was already cleared for the approach. They knew exactly where he was. The responsibility here at this point was for the helicopter pilot to maintain separation. And obviously that did not happen.
That's our KNX News travel editor, Peter Greenberg.